Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
It's time for our weekly conversation with our good friend Eric Burns of NoFilter.net. A lot of good stuff there. Maybe the best is him and Will Clark. They have a good time together. They know baseball, and it's fun to watch them talk games that are going on, stuff that's happened the past week in baseball, and we'll do that with Burnsy. Burnsy, what's up?
Tommy, what's up, man? Yeah, we got Studio 20 Tuesday tonight, as we like to call it, going on as soon as the Giants come on TV, man.
Perfect. That'll be fun to listen to Will when the Giants are on. Hey, we got a few things to get into, so let's go back a ways, and we'll work our way to where we are now. Give us your thoughts on the Michael Conforto situation against the Marlins, getting hit. Culpa called it a strike, and then he said he got hit. Then he said he made a mistake. Didn't do the Marlins any good at that point. But just give us your whole thought. Was it Bush League to do something like that? Should it be replay? I mean, what do you do there? Your thoughts on it.
Well, walk me through it, because I thought we were getting straight into the Joe West thing. But what happened with Conforto?
Don't you remember Conforto got hit and he stuck his elbow out over home plate against
the Marlins?
Forced
in a run.
And bases loaded in the 10th inning, and they won the game on that pitch.
Did he have an arm pad on?
Yep.
You know it.
He had the Barry Bonds special. Leaned
garbage,
into the pitch.
Man.
He leaned into it.
You guys know that? You gotta be able to review that. I mean, that's terrible. No, I do not miss that one amongst the chaos of life. But you can't, like, I've said that for years, man. You watch it, you see it, and dude. It happens over and over, and it's just like, you know what? And part of it is like they're leaving it to the home plate umpire. The home plate umpire's job is hard enough. That's why I don't want him to have to call balls and strikes. Then he can pay attention to stuff like that. But you're watching that as a base umpire. You see it all the time. And the same guys are the freaking guys that did it, right? And so here they are, and then it costs, you know, ends up costing them a game. It doesn't shock me. And then the other thing is, if you're wearing body armor and you get hit in the body armor, automatically MLB needs to make a rule you don't get first base. And so the ball, I'm good with that. But if you got the weenie armor on, you're not going to first.
Especially the armor when it was a strike too. It was clearly going to be a strike. I love it. I love the fact that you can go to replay. I love that you can go to replay, Burnsy. If replay worked, let's go to Sunday night, Braves and Phillies. They had replay and they still managed to screw it up. Thoughts?
Okay, first of all, I just watched a Conforto. I got my right man Kowalski sitting right here. That's an embarrassment. That's an embarrassment for the game of baseball.
Exactly.
I mean, my goodness, dude. How do you put your head on a pillow at night? And Michael Conforto, Oregon State Beaver, like, I like Pac-12 kids, but I mean, they're mauling him at first. That's even worse.
That's his legacy, as far as I'm concerned.
Wait till you hear the Mets broadcasters, if you get a chance. Listen to the Mets broadcasters.
Oh, it's the best.
When they see the replay and they see him do the chicken wing and throw his elbow out there, I don't know who the play-by-play guy is, but you could clearly hear Ron Darling is just basically going, no, that's not
I'm
right.
Sure we can probably dig it up.
I'm sure
Tim could dig that up.
Oh, yeah, we have that.
I can't believe this. It's a freaking strike.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, you think I was lying to you?
So I'm getting the above angle right now. Yeah, man, that's inside quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. He threw his elbow out there.
I don't get it. Why can't they go replay on that? Because it's judgmental call if he leaned into
yes.
it?
Yes, yes.
I guess.
Can't replay judgment calls.
Seriously, Sky Judge.
The Marlins wouldn't leave the field. They're still standing out on the field.
Ready to
like,
fight.
They're like, nah, man. This didn't really happen, did it?
See, this is even better, and this is what you get on NoFilter.net. Live reaction.
Yeah.
Let me go watch it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What was the next one?
The next one was the replay in the Braves-Phillies on Sunday night that they – I mean, I had Lorian Walker come in and watch it. I was like, is he out or safe? They're like, ah, he's safe. Wait, he didn't ever touch the plate. He's out. So if we're going to have replay, can we get someone that does replay properly?
I've been to the probably one of the more awkward exchanges I've ever had. What happened in the replay booth in New York City, and I was at the MLB BAM offices, right, in Chelsea Pier. I remember it wasn't Chelsea; it was across the street from Chelsea Pier, but in Chelsea, it was at Chelsea Market actually. Mm-hmm. So I was in there, and I was doing something with the social media from, you know, MLB, from Major League Baseball. And then the guy who was there was, you know, showing me around. He's like, yeah, you're the umpire, you know, replay review place. And there they were. And I'm like, you know, watching them, like this and that. And then one of the umpires that I actually knew from when I played and had walked out, and he's like, oh, hey, Bernsie, what's up, man? And he goes, you want to come in? And I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. And I walk in there, and within, I don't know, maybe 2 minutes, I run into one of the umpires that's like, oh, hey, Eric Burns, you're the one who's trying to replace us with robots.
Oh, great.
it's like, you know what? And I said, I'm not trying to replace you with robots. I still want you guys there. I just want to alleviate you of your duties, or at least all of them. So, I still want you on the field. I'm not trying to take anyone's job. They need to be there for game management. And obviously, they found ways to screw it up even with replay. But that was right after I had done the experiment with the automated strike zone in San Rafael. With the Pacifics. So, yeah, that was really awkward. But they sit there, and I saw it like a couple of times where they had – there's a lot of action in there where it's like, all right, we're going on this. And so they see the play first, and they start reviewing it before they even ask for it to be reviewed. And they have, you know, two different crews in there, if I'm not mistaken. But on top of that, they have all these other people that are actually watching. And then the people who are on the crew are walking back and forth, like where the monitors are, and saying, you know, trying to pick little things out and whatnot. But it was pretty cool to watch how the whole thing went down. I think you guys know as well as I do, like, you know, there's sometimes it's subjective, no matter how hard we want to try to say or how much we believe, oh, yeah, I have an objective. A lot of this stuff, even with replay, can still be subjective. And then in that case, I think you will stand with the call that was made on the field. Mm-hmm. I do think that umpires have way too much of a tendency to do that because they don't want to piss off their brothers, right?
All right, it's all fraternity. Thank you. So that's exactly where I want to go. I'm with you, automatic strike zone, and I'm pro replay. I'm always going to be pro replay, just because it is not used properly, or just because the human beings that are in charge of replay are fallible, because human beings are. To me, that's no reason to get rid of it. You know, we didn't stop developing airplane technology and using airplanes when you had crashes, unfortunately, on the regular. Now we've gotten to the point where aircraft crashes are rare because we've, you know, in essence, perfected the method of air travel. So my question to you is this: since you've been in the belly of the beast, why do we have people who are in some way, shape, or form connected with the umpires on the field at the various games, adjudicating from afar the mistakes that their brethren are making? To me, you have to get independent, non-umpire people in the replay room so you can stop having these guys, if they choose to, cover up for their brothers out there on the field. Because that's why you got that mess between the Phillies and the Braves. They didn't want to make the dude who missed the call, and all right, it was happening fast, he thought he saw the guy's heel hit the plate, they didn't want to make him look bad on Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN, so they let the call on the field stand. They hid behind that. If you have somebody who is in no connection to the umpires, there's a better chance that they won't fall victim to, in essence, showing pity to somebody that they know personally.
Yeah, I mean, Rod, you drilled it, man. I've said that for years as well. It's you have to have somebody independent that's not connected to the guys on the field. Like, these are guys that they literally could be working with the next week. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. I feel the same way. I mean, a similar discussion is the writers in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And it's like, you know, the writers who for years, you know, would have, you know, they're supposed to be objective, but they had these, would have these subjective experiences with these guys on the, in the locker rooms and, you know, on the field, and, you know, maybe a guy stiffed them for a story or whatever it is. So I feel like they're a little close. Now, you know, the one thing that's always, you know, baffled me, at least for the Hall of Fame, is what, you know, the players, that you want the players to have a say. It's like, if you want to know who the best players are, you ask the players who played with that era, right? And you ask me who the best baseball player of my era was. You know, if you want to consider us the same era, although he's, you know, ahead of me was Barry Bonds, and it's not even close. And so you go over these things, and it's like, for the Baseball Hall of Fame, why wouldn't you include a player vote? I'm not talking about Hall of Famers. One of the issues with Hall of Famers is, right, they want to keep as many people out as possible because they keep this club relative, you know, the more exclusive you can make it, the more you're going to, you know, they feel like they're going to be able to profit from their journey. And not to say that all these guys are selfishly thinking that way. I'm sure there's Hall of Famers that, you know, believe in opening it up. But the Hall of Fame, in my opinion, I mean, it's a celebration of great players. But, again, what I'm trying to say, as my ADD full-blown kicks in here, is that you want objective. You want people to truly be objective. And how do you get these different opinions, different eyeballs on it? You would have to almost take, you know, specifically, you know, people with an umpiring experience back or really knows the game well, and you put them in the booth, right, to go over it, to make sure, have an umpire there to explain the rule, and then ultimately let that person make the call. I guess that would probably be the best solution, Rob.
Seems easy.
Burnsy, let's talk hitting for a second. You didn't happen to see the Giants last night, did you, TJ, against TJ Antone?
No, I know they had a tough night.
Yeah, so TJ Antone, I never even heard of this guy. He comes out of the Reds' pen last night for Miley, and he has got just an awesome arsenal. He's throwing 98, and it's got real tail. It's moving away from left-handed hitters, and he's got a curveball that he's commanding, right? So he comes up there. I think it was a Solano at bat. He starts him off with this 83-mile-an-hour curveball. This guy throws 98, so Solano's waiting on 98. He's sitting fastball, of course. The guy throws him an 83-mile-an-hour curveball, catches the high and outside edge of the strike zone, 0-1. Comes back, second pitch, another 82-mile-an-hour curveball. He somehow gets it in there for a strike. As a hitter, when a guy's got 98 and he's throwing breaking balls at low 80s for strikes, can you change your approach mid at bat and be like, all right, I guess I gotta look for the breaking ball here? Or do you sit fastball all the way because he's got 98? I mean, or does it really depend AB to AB?
You know what, dude? Well, we just had this discussion on Friday. So on last Friday, I went on Family Feud, and it was MLB players, like former MLB players. I was on with Hunter Pence, Dallas Braden, Sean Green, Vince Coleman, and David Justice. And first and foremost, I just want to say that was one of the coolest experiences I've had in a long time. But it wasn't just a Family Feud thing. And literally, Larry, felt like we were back in the locker room, man. And we had a couple hours before the show, and so we had this exact conversation, man. Like, dude, what if, like, guys are throwing harder today? Guys are throwing 98. And you know what's funny too, though? Like, dude, we forget. I realize everyone wants to say that. Hey, and I get it. Like, velocity definitely is up, but I mean, I remember facing Jason Grimsley of all people throwing a 98 bowling ball sinker. Right, like looking up at the board, just going, dude, what was that? And so, when they're able – now, the difference is – one of the big differences is – and Hunter Pence is – you guys – you ever have a chance to talk hitting with this dude, by the way? We're very close to getting him on No Filter, which should be freaking awesome. But he basically – like, he has such a – I don't want to say it – like, such an awesome, unique perspective because – he was there when I was still playing, and he saw that era, and then he saw the adjustments and stuff that's gone on. And he said the number one thing, really, is basically, like, they're throwing breaking balls almost 50% of the time now. So that's 10% of the time more. So you could go and guess off speed. It used to be guess off speed. I used to sit fastball every single pitch and adjust. And if you talk to Sean Green, dude, Sean Green – had almost, especially against the guys that he faced a lot, had almost every pitch from every pitcher. He was showing us little tips and tricks that he would see from Randy Johnson, from Pedro Martinez. And so little things that he would be able to pick up that they're doing that he'd be like, boom, I saw it. Just a little way he fans the glove or whatever else. And so these guys were telling me, and these were guys that were better than I was. It was David Justice. It was, again, Sean Green, 49 homers, still the all-time home run leader single season for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And they're doing this without a juice ball, right? They're doing this in an era where it wasn't nearly as prominent. Of course, there was the aberration of Bonds doing what he did. But other than that, like, home runs weren't nearly what they are today. But these guys would have the confidence, and I know Manny Ramirez did the whole time. They would go up there, and they would look for one pitch, Larry. They'd be like, dude, I'm sitting curveball, and if he throws three fastballs down the middle, I don't care. And they'd get to be 0-2, and then they'd sit there and be like, yo, like, this is no problem. Like, I have this, and I'm going to stay committed to my plan, which I didn't – quite a bit, I'm not sure how the ballers do that, because I knew if I got my pitch and I missed it, I would never forgive myself. And I was a dead red hitter. I would sit on a fastball, and I don't care how hard you threw. If you threw it, you threw it down the middle, and you left it up in the zone, I was going to freaking hammer it. So I just never wanted to come off that pitch. I'd rather be like – but at the time, if you think about the approach, they were throwing fastballs 60% of the time. So I had a 6-in-10 chance, if we just went by general statistics, of guessing right. Whereas these guys would guess all the time – on off-speed pitch. And you know what? It probably suited them better than it did me, obviously. But I had a tough time coming off it. But in today's game, to sum this thing up, I would sit breaking ball. If you're flipping a breaking ball and I know there's a 50% chance and I think I'd be able to hammer it, I'd look for breaking ball. I'd look for it up in the zone. Because the problem is if you look breaking ball and you get a breaking ball down in the zone that's a, say, slider down and away and I'm sitting on a slider – what am I going to do with that, right? Best case scenario, fillet a base hit to right field. Most likely what I am going to do, even if I'm looking for it, is roll it over to shortstop. So I didn't want to hit that pitch.
All right, Joe West story.
Do you have one?
I have plenty, but like, look, Joe West, this kind of surprised me. Joe West and I have sat down and sipped adult beverages together for hours. And I actually have really enjoyed my time with him. I think he's more innovative and less stubborn than you would believe him to be. And I had an opportunity to play in a golf tournament with him several different years at Pebble Beach. And even after I did the whole automated strike zone experiment, and Kelly James, who St. Francis alum, is a freestyle rapper, has performed a couple times at this event, and he's just had a blast with using the Joe West angle along with, the automated strike zone and everything else. So this whole story, I think, kind of shocked me. I didn't know what was going on. It's I don't know. I'd have to know more about the actual lawsuit and what LaDuca said and whatnot.
Well, LaDuca lied. LaDuca flat out lied.
He said they
opened up the strike zone when Wagner was pitching in New York, that Wagner told him that he opens up the strike zone for me because I let him borrow my 57 Chevy when he's down near my house. So he likes driving antique cars. And LaDuca explained in great detail how he struck out three guys. Balls weren't even close. They were off the plate. And West rang them all up. Come to find out, West was only behind the plate once when Wagner and LaDuca were teammates. And Wagner didn't even pitch in the game. So that was the reason for the lawsuit. And LaDuca had to fork over $500K to Joe West because he wasn't even close on his story. Not even in the same ballpark or in the same state as the story. So that's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you got to, you know, be careful. Like, well, why?
Yeah.
I don't understand the yeah, it's, look, and it's funny because, yeah, it's like, you know, it's what we're doing at No Filter Network, right? Like, we're, the concept and idea is to be able to tell stories and to be able to, you know, to be able to give this uncensored analysis and you know, is predicated on authenticity. But one of the other things I would say it's also predicated on is truth. And, you know, you just go down a slippery slope when you're trying to, you know, I imagine, I know Paul LaDuca. Every one of my experiences with Paul has been awesome. He's been nothing but, you know, really cool. And I could see him, like, you know, anybody else who's sitting around, you know, having, whether cocktails are involved or not, but right. It's the old fishtail where I bet you there's some element of this that was true. And Wagner probably said something like that. And he was joking around and, you know, one thing led to another. And, you know, I didn't know if LaDuca remembered it or not.
Nobody can give me. I can't drink that much to not remember any part of a story. Like, none. Zero. It wasn't even close. I mean, I'd be passed out drunk before I came up with that. In fact, I'd be more truthful if I were passed out drunk than LaDuca was during that story. And by the way, that's just, I don't want to hear about golf tournament with Joe West. I want a story on the field. That's what you got tons of them. You give me a damn golf tournament? Give me a damn golf tournament story.
So apparently he can't tell any of the stories that happened
on
the field.
What is that?
No. There wasn't anything crazy. Look, that, when the cowboy was back there, you just knew it was a crapshoot. You know, to be totally transparent, like I wasn't sure if I was going to call a ball. I actually do remember. You know what? One of my favorite ones was, I do remember, just in case I would say definition, like I'm 99.9% sure.
This is based on a true encounter with Eric Burns and Joe West. Based on a true.
Be careful. He's litigious.
Whatever I have to say. Just in case I quote unquote misremember.
Yeah, exactly. Cost you 500 grand.
I'm not kidding you guys. I never felt all my years playing Major League Baseball, all of my years, I never felt like somebody threw a strike and it was a ball. Do you understand? Like,
yeah.
Where it was like, that was like, I always felt, now, I shouldn't say, very few cases did I ever feel like that, like, you know, whatever. I specifically remember, dude, that was a strike. It just got called the ball. And there was an instance with the cowboy behind there. And again, I'm 99% sure on this, with the cowboy behind there in a huge situation, huge. And Joe West, it was like strike three, piped right down the middle. I can't believe I just took this pitch. And ball four. I'm like, oh, dude, the cowboy. So from that,
you knew he screwed up.
But they all screw up. They're all going to tell you they screw up too, right? Like, you know, Joe was never one, and he would make his calls and everything. He was actually, and this is why, you know, I think him and I, you know, had these great conversations at the golf tournament or whatever else. He was always really cool. Like, he's not this a-hole out there. He actually is a really nice guy, but when you piss him off, like, don't. Like, it's not the guy that you want to upset because he's going to make your life miserable.
Look, I would say this, Burns. That story is fine just as long as you didn't come at the end of the story and said, the reason I think he called that a ball was because I let him borrow my house in Tahoe. Now, then you're going to have a problem. You drop that one on there. The fact that he missed one, he went full Enrico Palazzo out there, that's okay. I mean, that I guess that could happen. Let everybody know what time you're going to be on tonight with Will Clark. That'll be fun. You're going to be on during the Giants game, so it'll be you and the Thrill, nofilter.net. Get everybody the details when, where, and how they get involved.
Well, our first adult beverage will be poured at roughly, 6:45 Pacific time. And we sit back and we watch baseball. And it's just, Will is special in a way that when you get him going about the game, there's very few people that I've ever been around that know as much about him. Like, you want to talk about, when it comes to guessing pitches and everything, Larry, like, dude, he was a magician at it. He was the one that obviously read Greg Maddux's lips that said fastball inside. And it was just, he was always, and when you're that good, I think you're comfortable doing those things. But he watches, we were watching a game the other night, it was a Buster Posey home run on opening night. And it was, he had explained the fastball away to Longoria, and Longoria, took him off Otako, and then, I think it maybe was Solano who he tried to get inside on, but he didn't get it inside, and then he ends up getting a base hit, and then they throw a cut fastball in underneath Posey's hands, and Posey figures out a way to clear his hands, get the barrel of the bat to the ball. Will's standing up in his office, like, showing the technique of what it was that allowed him to get to that. But more than that, he's like, come on, Burns, he's like, this simple. Just look at it. He goes away, right? He goes away, gives up. You don't want to do that again. Then all of a sudden he comes back in, leads it over the middle of Solano. Posey knew exactly what he was getting. He was getting the inside fastball. And this is how and why he didn't miss it. And his mind's always working like that. And you wonder, these guys are good. And Will Clark was obviously an incredibly talented player. And whether it was the beauty and fluidity of the swing that made him so great, or it was a quick twitch or whatever it was that he had. But I'm starting to understand, and as I've, been analyzing baseball for almost as long as I played, these guys have a confidence in themselves in a way that they look at the game and break down the game that's just different. And when you get it in that raw and authentic quote unquote uncensored sort of way without a filter, it's pretty cool. It's pretty special content. So yeah, we're gonna be on at 6:45. We'll go on and we'll stay on. We usually go on hours, sometimes two. You never know if we get flowing, we might even stay a whole game. But it's I'm having a blast doing it.
Dude, it'll be great. I mean, just to sit back and watch a game and hear both of your guys' thoughts on the game will be awesome. Nofilter.net. Be there. 6:45. Grab a cold beverage and enjoy watching the Giants game and listening to Eric Burns and Will the Thrill. Burnsy, we'll look forward to talking to you next week, my friend.
All right, dude. This is really enjoying the segment. So I appreciate you.
Thanks, man.
You
yeah, too. Absolutely. You, yeah, anytime. Right, it's great stuff. Too. So let everybody know. All right, coming up, we'll continue on. We will get everybody ready a little earlier than Burnsy. And without the drink in our hands, probably. Reds, Giants in about 15 here in the Sports Leader.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.